giving us the picture, we were not there, of how Jesus entered into Jerusalem. What a beautiful picture it was. How joyful people were. How the crowd was shouting, crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And at the same time, the Pharisees and the religious leaders were getting angry and angry and angry. Their hearts were boiling with anger. They were not happy at all to see that Jesus Christ is being honored. Jesus Christ is being recognized as the king. So they could not hold it anymore that they said, hey, why don't you tell your people to stop shouting? To stop giving you all this glory? The answer was, okay, that's okay. You want them to stop? If I tell them, they will. But on the other hand, I will ask something else. The stones to do the same work. Hallelujah. And that point, I was saying, oh Lord, thank you that the people, regardless of the Pharisees' intervention and the religious leaders, they did not stop. Because if they did, it will be a shameful action for us to leave our role to the stones and shout praises for God. It will be a shame for human being created in God's image to give their role, their responsibility to a thing, a stone. Because Jesus was God, he was able to tell them, and they will be able to do it. And because of that, the anger that continued, they kept looking for ways or means to get him, to stop him from becoming who he thinks or he thought he was, according to them, which he really was. And then comes Friday. All those days going, the anguish, the beating up of the story, the steps going on, the anger coming up and up. We are not going to elaborate on all the steps because we will not have enough time for that. Friday, they had to arrest him. And those who were here on Friday, with all the readings that we heard from different people here, and how we went to the communion table, it was a time that was a time of reflection. A solemn time. I had a lot of questions in my heart to listen to the story, to think of what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to see that he was beaten. And the Bible uses the term scourged. And that word, scourged, you know it better than me, because that's your language. It means to me that it was not an easy time for him physically, to be scourged. They will strip you off your gloves and whip you mercilessly, such that Jesus was in excruciating pain. And that word means that he was intensely in a condition that was intensely painful. And this morning, at the resurrection garden, here is Dustin again, preaching the resurrection and saying that he's not in the tomb. He's alive. He's gone. They are looking for him. All they can see is those linen. Where is he? He's gone. He's alive. Amen. Amen. Now, what should I say again? Because Pastor Dustin said it all. Okay. There is one piece of the story that I want to pick, and that's what we are going to talk about. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are here to listen to you. We are here around your table and eat your food, which is the word of God. Help us, God, to hear you speaking and not banda. Help us, God, to understand your word. May the Holy Spirit translate every word for us and its meaning to us today. Speak, we are listening, and use your servant as just a tool in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. I said we just want to explore one piece of the entire story. We talked about the cross, we talked about everything else, but there is something I want to bring up. It is about the thorn. The thorn, the crown of thorn. The crown of thorns. When you think of that crown of thorns, what is it to us? What are the benefits for us? In the text of Matthew 27:27-29, then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers, the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. And when you read that word "hail" in French, it means "sali." And they were not really saying that to greet him or to salute him, but they are doing this to mock him. Crown. What is a crown? Now, this is your assignment. That's the problem with teachers. We are going to define the crown. What is the crown? What is a crown to you? Give yourself a definition right now and keep it for yourself. And then we are going to view what the Merriam-Webster dictionary tells us about the crown, and then you are going to grade yourself. How does it sound? Good. Okay. Now, define the crown. What is a crown? Now that you have defined your crown, according to Merriam-Webster dictionary, the crown, a crown is a reward of victory or a mark of honor. A reward of victory or a mark of honor. That's the first definition that he gives. It is something that you win after doing something, maybe after competing. And it was usually when they have the organized sports events, at the end, there is a title that is given to the winner, the champion. And that is the crown. Okay. In real life, we have crowns. This is an example. Somebody has won. Do you remember what is this? Those of you who watch the TV? What is that? What do you think? Can you think of something? Miss America, being crowned, that's the crown. And it brings joy. Even if her face looks like she's not happy, but inside her, that's the happiness. I've won. And that's the crown. The second definition that Merriam-Webster dictionary gave us is that a crown is a royal or imperial headdress or cap of sovereignty. This is a diadem. It is a royal thing. It is a royal cap. It is not like that one. And this one, this is how it looks like. And then it goes always with a scepter. When the king has it, he always has a scepter. Okay? Now, after looking at all this kind of crown, we think of the text we have just read. We see something different happening. Especially when you read it from the context of John chapter 18, verse 33 through 37. John 18, 33 to 37. You will see here the encounter between Jesus and Pilate, who is asking him, let me read what it says. Then Pilate went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you then the king of Jews? Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked him, "Is that your own idea? Or did others talk to you about it? Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied, "Your own people and chief priest handed over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not for this world. If it were, my servant would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews' leaders. But now my kingdom is from other places, from another place. You are a king then? Said Pilate. Jesus answered, you said that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Hallelujah. So he's confirming here that he is the king, which is something these people do not want to hear him say. They don't want him to declare himself openly and tell them without fear that he is the king. And he has just told them that my kingdom is not from this world. So, I am a king, someplace. After Pilate had told the crowd that he found no basis for charging this man, he asked them, the people, to release him. At least he tried. He tried, wanted them to release Jesus. But they didn't want it. They wanted Barabbas to be released, a criminal. They know that he is a criminal. He has done wrong stuff, but they want him to be free so that the innocent man can be brought him in and be put to death. And because of that comes this verse, John 19:2-3. The soldiers who were so angry because now Pilate has just handed Jesus over to them, they grabbed him and they did what they should do. They thought that was not enough, the beating. And when they described the whip they were using, when you read about that whip, you'll see it is made of metal and some pieces attached to them, those metal, such that when you get one, it tears your skin, it tears your body, you will be bleeding, you will be in pain. And it is not something that they are whipping with ease, but with anger, because this is a man who is declaring himself a king, and we don't approve it. Let us beat him. And that was not enough for them. You see, he has been beaten. They have given him this robe of the king because they are mocking him. He's a king. You need to dress like a king. And then they say, oh, this is not enough. We need to add something that will inflict more pain on him. He's already in excruciating pain. And they say, no, this is not enough for this man. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in purple, which is the king's color, in purple robe, and went up to him again and again, saying, hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him in the flesh. If you continue reading different evangelists, Matthew, Luke, Mark, and you see all these descriptions of the kind of beating, your heart is broken. So they're saying this is not enough suffering for him. Since he has declared himself to be the king, let's add something on him that will make him the real king. That is the crown they brought for him. We saw the earlier crowns, the crown that you wear peacefully, joyfully, but now they brought this one. They said they twisted it. I don't know where it came. Suddenly, they came with this idea to inflict more pain on somebody who is already in pain. One of my friends, my colleague pastor, said, we can't imagine how mankind can be engineered in thinking of evil stuff on how to hurt somebody. They became engineers. Suddenly, they thought, no, we need to bring something else. I don't know whether it was right there or somewhere, how they got it. They took this plant. And those who studied this plant, they said, those thorns are poisonous. Those thorns are poisonous, such that something that is poisonous, when it reaches your bloodstream, you will not feel at ease. So imagine somebody who is already in pain, and they come not peacefully putting it on, but forcing it on him. How painful that was. And not only that, to keep mocking him, I gave you the picture of a crown and a scepter. This is what they brought for him. He got the crown and the reed to give him. Oh, he's the king. They put it on his right hand. And that's where the kings put their scepters. They put it there for him to mock him. They are not honoring him. They are not making him the king, but they're just teasing him. It was not an easy situation. The crown of thorn that we see there vividly symbolized the curse of sin. This is the curse of sin being placed on Jesus' head. When you look at this and think through this thorns, it is immediately for us to take an idea and think, it is reminding us that this came long time ago in Genesis. Oh, okay. I was facing the wrong side. Okay, let's now, as a church, as a family, this is where it started from. This is where we got the thorns, because at the very beginning, they were not there. Let's read together, but let's wait each other. No running. Okay, let's go. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all days of your life. It will produce thorns and whistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust. This is where it came from. The thorns were not there to hurt anybody, but because of Adam and Eve eating from the tree that was bare for them to eat, this came. We have thorns, we have whistles, and we have to work hard to gain a living. Some people cannot sleep in their houses. Some people have to work several hours. And Paul says, if you don't work, you don't do what? You eat. So you have to work and work. Even when you are tired, you don't feel like, today I don't want to go to work. But when you think of the bills, you say, I have to go because tomorrow I have to pay a bill. I have to pay the rent. I have to pay the mortgage. Or they will cut off my cable. Amen. This is the source. This is where it comes from. Disobedience. So the crown or thorn is that Jesus was bearing the sins of all of us at that time. The crown of thorns was not an easy stuff. The thorn is the very symbol of sin. It is the very symbol of sin that Jesus was carrying on him. Before our Lord was crucified at Calvary, they crowned him with a crown of thorn. He wore upon his head the very symbol of sin. The word for crown in the crown of thorns is the Greek word Stephanos. Stephanos, and not Didyma. Didyma is for the royal, okay? But Stephanos indicates the victor's crown. It is a crown of victory after he has bore our sins. At the end, it becomes a crown of victory because he rose from the dead and he is alive today. He is resurrected. Today, we are not here to pray somebody that died, buried, and is still there. Some people are praying somebody who existed, whom they honored, they died and buried, and their tombs are still there. They are still worshiping him. But for you and I, we are privileged to worship somebody who came, was killed, died, and rose out of it. He showed himself to everybody, to several people, so that they don't have any excuse. Say, okay, you said that he was resurrected, but who saw him? Who saw him? He showed himself to his disciples, to his people, to everybody. Everybody knew. So, and although they wanted to try to hide the story that he's not, they wanted to even bribe people to hide the story. But he is here showing himself up. How can you hide it? Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. His throne, those thorns, the crown of thorns is a crown of victory. Laura, in her Bible studies, said this: the crown of Christ, the crown of thorns that Christ wore at Calvary was the crown of sin. And our Lord paid the price for sin. With the giving of his life and the crown he wore at the cross was the crown of victory. The soldiers that plaited the crown of thorn and pressed it upon his head intended it to be a diadema, the royal crown of a king. They did not realize that they had crowned the man of the Calvary as victor over sin and death and the grave. Yes. Amen. He is a victorious king over death, over sin, over the grave. The grave is empty. Amen. It is empty. And Jesus is not there on the cross. The cross is empty. The grave is empty. He's not in the tomb. He is out. That's the cross that we are celebrating today. A living one. So those of us who have already made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, invite him in our life, we need to be thankful to God that many millions of people around us have not yet come to that point of inviting Jesus in their hearts. Just think of your own family. How many are there who are still resisting? Think of your neighborhood. How many are there that don't want even to hear about Jesus Christ? Think of your colleagues, co-workers. And today, in Israel, it is like they are fighting about something, they want to make a law, or they want to introduce something in the parliament that will prevent people from talking about Jesus Christ. If they hear you, you are in for 1 year. And if you talk about Jesus to somebody of less than 18 years, you'll be in for 2 years. It has not passed yet. And the video is going round so that people can pray that thing does not pass. Thanks for you who have the freedom to hear about Jesus Christ and are still resisting. You need to think twice. Think twice, because you are missing something that is there for you to grab. It is there for you. It is like food on the table. And they said, food is served. It is there. Food is served. It is there. But if you don't come to the table, grab your food, serve yourself, and put in the mouth, it will be there, and you will not benefit from it. Amen? Amen. But now, this crown of thorn, what are their benefits to us? The first benefit is that because of that crown, those who have believed in Jesus Christ will have the imperishable crown. The imperishable crown, that's what we get. And we get it from 1 Corinthians chapter 20, chapter 9, 24. Do you not know that in the race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's the crown that is waiting for us. Those of us who have decided to surrender ourselves to Jesus Christ. So you are not missing something. You made the right decision to surrender your life to Christ, because from his crown of thorns, you get the imperishable crown. What else do we get from his crown? The crown of rejoicing. Okay? 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20, and this is from New King James. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not in you, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and our joy. Those who have accepted Christ are the joy of those of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul tells in Philippians 4:4, rejoice always in the Lord, for all the bountiful blessings our gracious God has showered upon us. So as Christians, we have more in this life to rejoice about than anyone else. What is the other benefit for us as Christians? I'm skipping because of time, skipping some of your stuff. The next one is the crown of righteousness. Righteousness. We get it? Human beings? Oh, yes, we do, because of that crown or thorn. And when we accept it, invite him in our heart, this is what we get. 2 Timothy 4:8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Okay? And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Are you longing for that? Are you longing for his coming? Oh, if you are, then the crown of righteousness is waiting for you. It's there for you. That's the beauty of the resurrection God that we celebrate. He's not dead. He's alive. And all these promises are true for us. What else do we get the crown of glory. Oh, then you think that word glory. To whom does it belong? But let's see. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. The crown of glory that will never fade away is waiting for us. It is for us. That's why we need to be there, out, talking about Christ, sharing Jesus Christ to those who have not made a decision for him, so that they don't miss out all this stuff. They need it, as we needed it. And we still need it. And we long to see him. I'm waiting for him, even now. I'm ready. Are you? And when I'm ready, when he calls me, and get there, I know that all these crowns, even the crown of righteousness, will be given to me. I'm going to stop at this next one. The time is clicking. Okay. The crown of life. And I want us all to read for ourselves this crown of life. Revelation 22, chapter 2, verse 10, and this is from ESV. Okay, let's read together. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some in prison that you may. Be faithful up to until death. Don't stop on the way. You need to go all the way. Don't stop somewhere. Oh, I have served him all this long, but there is something I've not been receiving since I started asking him. Why is it so? So I'm tired. Don't stop on the way. Be faithful unto death. Even when they are persecuting you, they are opposing you, their family members want to reject you because of Christ, accept it. How many children or people have been cursed by their families because they have decided to accept Jesus? How many of those are being persecuted right now as we speak, as we celebrate, because of Jesus Christ? But he said, persevere, go to the end, because I will give you the throne of life. Brethren, I'm going to stop there. I've skipped some stuff. I want to be in time. But do you think of the crown of cross, of thorns, and its benefit? Think about it. Think through. Have you made your decision? If you did already, oh, keep it. No matter what kind of situation, problems you are facing through along that road, don't give up. Now, if somebody here has not made that decision, the time is here. Don't keep postponing. Don't keep waiting for tomorrow. May the Lord Almighty keep interpreting this for us. Amen.